for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, December the 27th, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Midwinter Camp Meeting. Ferris Miller is the speaker of the morning.
Well, glory to God. Turn to Luke, the 18th chapter. I got to stop this. And the first verse says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then we go on down and it talks about, you know, the parable of the unjust judge with this widow. How that she pressed him and pressed him and pressed him and just wore him out by coming to him time after time after time. And finally he granted her request because he didn't want to be bothered with it. It goes down into the 8th verse, and I have contemplated this 8th verse time and time and time again because it says something to me. And I've wondered about it. Glenn and I were talking about it this morning or last evening, and it says something to me loud and clear that somehow or another that upon the face of this earth in these last days and in the gathering of the foot company in the body of Jesus Christ, which will be the completion of the bridegroom in these last days, it's not going to be the many, but it is going to be the few. It doesn't take quantity for God. It takes quality for God. And God is building into a group of people a quality that is exactly like the characteristics of Jesus Christ. It's the completion of His body. And everything in His body is going to radiate the essence of Himself. Everything in that body is going to radiate this. I thought about how the Israelites came up out of Egypt and out of the Egyptian bondage. How they came across the Red Sea and how God split that Red Sea and 2.25 or 2.5 or 3 million people walked across that. That's a tremendous feat and a tremendous miracle of how that God separated those waters and brought these people through and then let the waters close in upon the enemy and destroy them all. Destroy all of their enemies. It's no wonder they sang and danced and had a time over there banging the tambourine. I imagine they really made the sand fly. Glory to God down there on that beach. But I'll tell you that after 40 years, there were only two that came out of Egypt that went on into the promised land. There were only two. Can you imagine out of 2.5, 3 million people that only two made it? Joshua and Caleb. Caleb means capable and Joshua means savior. Capable saviors. Glory to God. In other words, they were able. They were men that were able. They were capable of doing the job, bringing forth salvation. Hallelujah. I thought about that. It just amazes me. It causes my mind sometimes to be boggled just to think about just a few. Just a few. And here's the Lord saying, He says, nevertheless, down here in the 8th verse, in the latter part of it, it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Which tells me there's going to be a shortage. There's going to be a lack in this commodity. And I find many people that are not living by faith today because we know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I find people living in an area of hope. They're always hoping that it's going to happen. I'm always hoping that I will be healed. I'm always hoping that I will get this victory. I'm always hoping that I shall come into the fullness of Christ. There comes a time when we have got to faith it by the Word of God. And faith demands a few things, especially in time faith. And that's what Jesus Christ is speaking about. He said, when I come, He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find this upon the face of the earth? Shall it be here? Is the Lord God going to search the whole area of all the earth everywhere to find faith? Why is there going to be such a shortage of this? Why is there going to be such a shortage of this commodity? I believe, you know, in hope. I know that hope, the Greek word of hope is elipidi, and it means a keen anticipation for something good. It's something that we've got to have. Hope, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, is a helmet of salvation. If you don't have hope, you lose your salvation. I know that. But it tells us also that the just must live by faith. Glory to God. And if faith is giving the substance of things hoped for, what's giving us this is substance. This substance is the Word of God itself. Hallelujah. God will fulfill His Word. He'll fill it full. It's full of Him. That's why He'll fulfill it. He won't let it drop to the ground. It's absolute within itself. There is no denying whatsoever. God will never deny Himself. That Word never changes. Everything else is in a period of flux. Everything that we see is in a period of change. But I'll tell you that we are serving one that changes not. Jesus Christ is just like God. He is the Son of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Glory to God. So when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith upon the earth? I make my confession. He shall find faith in me, because I believe that inside of me, the Word of God is being indelibly written. I draw it into my spirit. I draw it in by faith. I believe that it is the Word of God. I will not deny it. And I also have embraced change. The reason that the Israelites were stripped from the kingdom of God, the reason that they never realized the livability that is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, is because that they had become so stiff-necked and hard-hearted and so obstinate that they would not listen or would not hear what God had to say. Or if they did listen to what God had to say, they would not do it. Brother, sister, let me tell you, we sing, yes, traditions. The traditions of men that have been passed on. These things have caught us into such a vice grip that many of us don't even know that those tentacles are hanging upon us even this day. I'll tell you, brother, sister, that I haven't been in this walk so long. But I do know that since 1970, when I came into what they called the charismatic movement, I made up my mind to go on with God. I made my mind up I was going to embrace change. I made my mind up that God was not going to make any provisions for me to go backward. You're not going to find this charismatic standing up in front of you and saying, now just go on back into the old slop. Eat your vomit and wallow in the mud. You're going to hear me say that for this day and for this generation, it's not to go back, but it's to go on into the fresh and new revelation that God will give His people as He walks onward. Jesus Christ does not walk backward. And He made no provision for us to go back. Listen, even in all the scriptures in the Bible, never did we see a place where the Lord said, well, I know you have a hunger for the onions and the leeks and the watermelons and the cucumbers, but oh, if you just go back and stand on Red Sea, I'll open it up and you can go back if you'd like. There is no return. The bridges have been burned. And brother, sister, if you've got any bridges, burn them. Burn them. Ask God to set fire to them. Burn those things. Get rid of them. Don't go on. Don't go on playing games with God running to and fro. That's how the devil eats you up. The Lord said about the serpent, He says, on your belly you shall go and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. If you want to stay in that old Adamic walk, in that old Adamic nature, I'll guarantee you the devil will chew on you. You know what he's doing here on earth? He's going to and fro. And you start that same operation going to and fro, and that's the one that he's chewing on. He eats dust. You run to this man and you run to this man and that man, and I'll guarantee you Satan will eat you up. But if you one time dare to take a stand upon the rock where the gates of hell shall never prevail, and you seek only Christ for all of your needs according to His riches and glory, I'll guarantee you Satan will never touch you. He'll try, but he can't get the job done. I used to think within myself, you know, that if I could just creep into the doors of the church, I had it made. I didn't know that every howling demon under the sun was in those pews and up in the pulpit and everything around about and everywhere. I didn't know that. But I used to creep in there thinking the deep of hell will not prevail. I'm safe in here. Oh. I'd draw and put on my pious ecclesiastical robes and my pious look, you know, light the candles and all, but start out on the left foot singing, holy, holy, holy. And I even gave the devil a program to read 2 days before. Boy, I'll tell you what a heyday he had with us. It's no wonder that we were bound up. We lived up there in Michigan. I thought we were God's chosen people, but we were God's frozen people. The only miracle I ever did see is that at the end of the service, the dead arose and left. Some of the silliest things that I ever saw is we had fire extinguishers in those churches. Isn't that terrible? But brother, sister, we're coming down here to an end time. It's not time to go back. It's not time to go back. Not too long ago, one of the charismatic leaders made this mention of this and made this statement. And he says, what's the greatest thing that we should do now? And he quoted the scripture out of James. You should take care of the widows and the orphans in their affliction. That's pure religion. Well, people should embrace that as a mighty revelation of God. Listen, brother, sister, that's a secondary thing in the periphery of what we should be doing. As we go on, brother, sister, in the things of God, the widows and the orphans are going to be taken care of. Hallelujah. Your heart will embrace it. Jesus will embrace the great shepherd of the sheep. He'll embrace all these things. Hallelujah. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith here upon the face of this earth? That's a short commodity. That's something that there's a shortage of. Brother, sister, I believe he's going to find it. God's raising up a whole new breed of charismatics, or whatever you want to call them. Maybe they're scary-matics. Everybody seems to be afraid of them. To go on into the likeness and the fullness of Jesus Christ himself. Listen, brother, sister, we've got to keep the unity of the Spirit, and I believe in that. But it's until we come to the unity of the faith, of the fullness of the stature, of the fullness of the stature of that man, Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about this end-time faith, end-time faith demands certain things. It demands an action that corresponds with the Word of God. It demands an action within us that we are convinced that God is going to do something. We not only are so convinced in it, but we move in that revelation, and somehow or another within us, the Holy Spirit creates a vision in us that it is going to happen now. It's not going to be something that we're hoping for. It's not something that is elusive and off in the distance someplace, but it is so close to it, it's at our very fingertips. It's something that we can absolutely touch right now. And brother, sister, it isn't time for us to get a glazed look in our eyes. It isn't time for us to sit down and fold our hands across our legs and somehow or another have that give-up attitude that seems to be the syndrome in this last age. But it's time for us to somehow or another to get up and look across the top of the horizon and begin to rise up above the storms that are all around about us and begin to look out there, way out there where God looks and God begins to see. And when people take a look into our eyes, and they begin to take a look into our what the words were saying, and take a look into our heart, because that's how we reveal our hearts. They began to see something there that goes beyond their hope, something that will give them substance now. Turn to Mark, the second chapter. Jesus had entered into Capernaum, didn't advertise. He just, somehow or another, that guy couldn't stay hid. And he doesn't stay hid today. Brother, sister, when you find out Jesus is in the house, people are going to hear about it. Let those people get set free. Hallelujah. Everybody's going to hear about it. Glory to God. But it says he was in the house. It was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the what? He proclaimed the word unto them. Hallelujah. I like that. Jesus stuck with it too. I know why he stuck with it. He knew that every word of God was pure. And God was a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And he also knew that if you added unto his word or took away from it, that God would destroy you. That's Proverbs. Add thou not unto his word, but he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. And he is a shield to them that put their trust in him. That's why he proclaimed the word. He knew that word was always anointed. I don't care what the season looked like. It might look like a frozen place. But I'll guarantee you that if you preach the word, the thaw will come. Have you ever thought? Glory to God. I'll tell you, the thaw will come. The word of God will begin to thaw. He preached the word unto them. And here it was, in the third verse, it says, they came unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus, what? When Jesus saw their faith, he saw it was something to behold. He saw it. Remember how Paul was in Lystra? And he was preaching and proclaiming the word of God and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right in the middle of his message, he looked over and here was a man who was impotent in his feet. And he took a look at that man and he said with a loud voice, he saw his faith. He saw that he was able to apprehend this and lay hold on. This man had been in hope, but now he come to faith and he saw his faith. He said in a loud voice, stand up. The man stood up. Sometimes you can see things. You take a look at people's eyes, you know. The Lord, he looks out across the congregation. I don't especially look out here. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. How could I make a judgment of you? I don't dare to make a judgment. I know a lot of you people, but how am I going to make a judgment of you people? It's God that is looking upon the heart. But Jesus saw something in their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their action. He saw their attitude. Glory to God. What would you think if this place was jam-packed and all of a sudden the cobwebs and all the insulation and everything started to come down on your head and you looked up and you saw four men and the rear end of someone coming through the roof? Would you stand here and say, I'm not sure they mean business? When the Son of Man comes, shall he find that kind of commodity that'll tear the roof off? But he comes. Will he find it here? Will we be a part of that? Will we be not only recipients, but will we also be the givers of that commodity? When people take a look at us, and we grab a hold of that pallet, brother, sister, let me tell you, a long time before Jesus ever saw faith in those men's eyes, that man on that pallet saw it too. But there's something about faith that builds faith. If there's ever a disease that could ever catch, I hope it's the faith disease. I hope it gets contagious in God's people. I hope you get an epidemic of it while you're here. Glory to God. We need an epidemic of faith. Glory to God. Listen, when we pick people up, you know, let's go to the meeting. Maybe God will touch you tonight. They got another speaker. I thought Brother McCarroll was going to preach. He probably will touch you next meeting. They got this fellow from Knoxville. I didn't even know him. Bald-headed. I hope the Bears get him for that. Gwen Worley. Who's he? Oh, he wrote those. Well, he believes in deliverance. Well, we're glad he isn't preaching. What if we came to the services? Brother, you got that cripple up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. We're going to services, and today the presence of the God is going to be so mighty in that place. That whatever happens and you hear a word, get up off that thing and off that cot. You're going to run. You're going to be whole today. Hallelujah. The fellow says, who's preaching? We don't know and we don't care, but those people have got God in their midst. Glory to God. I believe the Holy Ghost can saturate the very atmosphere of the place until it's so charged with the angel of God that when you come into the presence of the Lord God Almighty, there'll be a holy hush that'll fall upon your heart. Be orderly, because God's not an author of confusion. He's a God of order. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, he's going to find love. He's going to find hope. But he's looking for something else, isn't he? He seems to be looking for faith. Faith. I remember one time, another minister put some faith in me. I thought I was doing pretty good, you know, praying for kidneys and livers, pimples, warts and moles. Those are all the safe things to pray for. You can really speak in faith. That's a good thing to operate in the word of knowledge with. Because who knows? Gallstones, gallbladders, ruptured spleen, stricken lungs. If they ever get an x-ray machine in the service, they'll quit speaking about it. You know what I'm talking about. Brother Welker calls up, and here I am. I'm ministering, and ministering, you know, that by faith people can be healed. I just administered, you know, to kidneys and livers and pimples. Seen some tremendous results. They all stood up and testified that God healed them. He says, Brother Ferris, he said, I'm coming over tonight. Service, he lived in Decatur, Indiana, and I lived in Anderson. He says, I'm coming over tonight to the services, and he says, I got a woman over here that's sick. He says, I'm believing God's going to heal her tonight, brother, when you lay your hands on her. I said, oh, praise God, Brother Welker, bring her over. I said, what's wrong with her? He says, she's stone blind. I said, what? I thought he had a kidney case or a liver or a lung or a pimple. But this was blindness. Now listen, that's different. It takes a different measure of faith. Glory to God. I'll tell you, I almost got tongues right there over the telephone. I said, wait. You know, I almost had it right there. If somebody would have pushed me a little bit, I'd been right in the spirit. He brought her. And of all, it snowed about 8 or 9 inches. And in Anderson, Indiana, they don't know what a snowplow looks like. The streets were all covered with snow. People weren't out. There was only 13 people showed up for church. And that's embarrassing. Especially if you know you got company coming. You always like to have a better turnout. And especially if you got a big offering during the month, you always leave that one up longer. Brother, you see, I keep hitting these things. These are traditions. It's traditions. We get ourselves frozen up on those things. They brought that woman over to the church, and I'll tell you, she had white things all over her eyes. I couldn't even see her eyeball. It was just the eyeball, and then you couldn't see the color of her eyes. I'd been praying ever since I hung that telephone up. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I was between praying and fainting half the time. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I got Audrey to praying and the kids to praying. I wouldn't let anybody eat supper or dinner, nothing. I said, we aren't eating today. Never. I said, this is really serious. Audrey says, what is it? I said, blindness. She says, oh my goodness, let's get to praying. She thought it was a pimple or something. They brought that woman in here, 13 people gathering in for the evening service. The church held 700. Looked like somebody spit and missed the place. You know who showed up? Nobody that had the victory. It was terrible. I could have cried. I even prayed for death. I would rather have died than to hold that service. So here they are sitting there. This woman with her eyes wide open, those white spots looking at me, you know. The devil whispering in my ear, they aren't going to come off. They aren't going to come off. Making a fool out of yourself, yes. I had to quit looking at her. I looked over the side of the church and I said, I want you people to pray. I said, Brother Welker's brought this woman, Louise Gars, from Wilshire, Ohio. I said, he's driven from Decatur, Indiana to Wilshire, Ohio and picked her up and brought her down here. I said, this woman's blind. I said, she's been blind for years. I said, she's got a 15-month-old baby that she has never seen. She doesn't even know what her husband looks like. She had never seen her house. I said, I want you people to pray. And I said, I don't know who has a need in your heart, but I said, if you've got anything wrong with you or anything wrong between you and your brother, I said, it's time to get the thing straightened up. I said, this woman's believing she's going to get healed. I said, Brother Welker believes she's going to get healed when I lay hands on her. And I said, I'm believing God will heal her. That was a step. People got down on their knees and began to pray. Pretty soon, Brother Welker brought her up to the altar. We had one of these old things we called a mourner bench in the front of the church. And she knelt down there, and I knelt down across her, and Brother Welker was on one side, and the rest of the people gathered up around this place. And we were all down there praying. I laid my hands. I felt anointed. And I laid my hands, my thumbs on her, top of her eyelids. I began to pray, and I said, Lord God, just work right through my body. I said, I give my body to you, Lord. Just put your hands right through mine and touch this woman's eyes. In the name of Jesus, be whole. I felt tears start to trickle down my wrist and drop off my wrist. And I took my thumbs away from her eyelids, and she opened up her eyes, and those two white things began to slide. First thing I saw was blue eyes. And when the light struck the center of those eyes, she went blind again. She couldn't see. She hung her head down. And the Spirit quickened the word to me that the Lord prayed the second time for those blind men.
Because at first they saw men like trees walking, and he prayed the second time. And we laid hands on again and prayed for her, and God took the things completely off. We don't even know where they went, but they were gone. They were dissolved by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You say, was that your faith? No, it wasn't my faith. I'll tell you, if the Lord would have come then, he wouldn't have found any in me. It was the faith of that man that brought it. He never blinked his eye. The same thing that he said over the telephone when I saw that man come through the door. He said, Brother Miller, here she is. He says, when you lay hands on her, God's going to heal her. Whoa! Glory to God. It demands an action. This end time faith demands something out of us. It demands that we not, that when that person that we are bringing to the service, that they can actually see that we mean business with God. Listen, if God can see faith, then he can also see doubt and question marks and unbelief. He can see all those things. And I'll tell you, God wants to see faith in his people. He wants to see faith in his people. You know, another thing that we've got to get away from is this public opinion. This end time faith demands that we put it down. Over in the area of the country of the Gadarenes, a man that they called probably the boogeyman. You ever hear the boogeyman? How many of you have heard of the boogeyman? Sure. The parents over there probably scared their kids into submission to them with the boogeyman. That they could hear howling and weeping and wailing and clanking chains in the graveyard on the tombstones at night. Old crazy legion out there again. The boogeyman legion will get you if you don't straighten up. And the kids would hush down and they'd hear, aah! And the clanking of those chains in that old graveyard and those tombstones being hit by those chains. Oh, it probably scared the daylights out of them. But what was wrong? Listen, every man in that town had put those chains on that man. And when they got him all chained and thought they had him under control with those iron chains, he just went, boom, snapped them apart with his hair springing and a snot in his beard and a spittle running down his face, his eyes all bloodshot. He ran wailing him out into the tombstones and into the graveyard. They couldn't do anything about it, so they just accepted it. There are probably many people saying, wish he'd die. I wish he'd die. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, man with his chains and his beard and his nakedness run down and fell in front of him on the seashore. Jesus Christ set him free. Hallelujah. What made that man run down there? I've had people say, oh, it was the demons inside of him that caused him to run down there. Brother, sister, there was something inside that man that says, I want deliverance, I want deliverance, I want deliverance. I've gone up and they didn't give me deliverance. They put me in chains. They tried to put me into more bondage than I ever was before. What a system that was. You talk about traditions. That's what traditions does to you. That was their traditional answer for this man's deliverance. Put the chains on him. Snap those chains on him. Put his leg locks on him. Tie that man up, and he smashed it all and come out of there because Satan wasn't about to be bound in that man. One day a man brought his son to the disciples of Jesus. And he said to them, this boy of mine has epileptic seizures. Sometimes he gets thrown in the fire. Sometimes he gets thrown in the water. Would you please do something for my boy? What was wrong with the disciple? They'd watched Jesus do it, but they couldn't get the job done. I don't know what they did. They probably did everything under the sun trying to get that demon out of that boy. People were laughing. The congregation was standing around. Here's the disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're trying to get that demon out of that boy, and they're probably saying, you come out of him, you come out of him, you come out of him. But he didn't come out, and they probably got their voices up louder, and probably several of them got laryngitis from speaking too loud. Demons aren't deaf. You hear what I said? Demons aren't deaf. And they yelled and probably did everything they possibly could to try to get those demons out. But finally, when the father saw that the boy was the same as what he was before they ever started, when Jesus walked up and said, what's going on here? Why are you questioning my disciples? Because they were at their wits' end. Somehow or another, their whole ministry was in a heap of ashes right there, and this boy was possessed. And The Father says, well, he says, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't get him out. And if you can do anything, well, take charge. And the Lord said, when did this come into this boy? And he says, from what, a little tiny child? He notice that, said, Jesus, if you can do anything. Jesus turned it right around and took this man through deliverance. He worked through this father first. He cast out. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you've got faith, all things are possible to him that has faith. All things. And he says, oh, God, Lord God, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Get rid of my unbelief. He went through deliverance. And when he did, the Lord Jesus said, come out of him, you unclean spirit. And that boy was set free. But so was his daddy. His daddy had enforced that thing in that boy for years and years and years. I could hear him saying, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. My son has epilepsy. He's had it for a long time. We've done everything, but we don't know what to do. He'll never get rid of it. Did you ever hear people talk that the circumstances around about them and even public opinion itself is probably the final answer for all things? How many times have you joined into that conversation? You know, oh, there's old sister so-and-so. She's been with us now 17 years, and we've only got one more day till New Year's, and she's had that spirit of infirmity. We can't do anything about it. She just hobbles in, you know, and sits down here in the front and kind of looks up at us from that crippled position. You're looking up, looking up, looking up. One day, Jesus walks in Luke, the 13th chapter, and he says, well, why in the world should Satan have this daughter of Abraham bound for all these 18 years? He just laid his hand on her and said, come out, you spirit of infirmity. They were so mad, it wasn't on the program. Amen? It wasn't on the program. We didn't have this thing set up. It wasn't on the program. Look what he did. Spoiled the services. It was just during a time when the choir was going to start out on their left foot singing, holy, holy, holy. And he wrecks the service. Glory to God. One day Jesus was walking along and a centurion came up to him. He said, I got a servant lying at home sick. Bad sick. Jesus says, I'll come over to your house and lay hands on him and heal him. Centurion says, no, you don't need to come over. He says, I'm a man set under authority. He says, when I say to this fellow, you come over here, he comes. When I say to that fellow, you go over there, he goes. And he's as much as saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know you're a man under authority. And I know that whatever you say come, or whatever you say to that which is to go, it's got to. He says, speak the word only. Speak the word only. I used to look at that passage of Scripture, and if anybody would have come to me with a servant that was sick at home 17 miles from where I was standing and would say, just speak the word only, I'd get down on my knees and I'd say, oh, Lord God, if it be thy will, heal this man. You ever hear that kind of praying? And of course, we always did that because we were afraid if it didn't work, God would get the blame and we wouldn't. It's always safer to pray, if it be thy will. But when you believe that it is God's will, you're going to speak the word. Jesus always scared people. He says, why? He says, I haven't found so great faith in all of Israel. Here was a son of man walking the face of this earth, and he couldn't even find faith in Israel that would believe that the word of God just being spoken, that the word just simply spoken would do the work. It scared him. But here's the Son of God standing there, and he says, so be it unto you as you believe, brother. He went home and checked it out. In the self-same hour that Jesus spoke, his servant was healed. 17 miles. How would you like to have an arm 17 miles long? How long do you think God's arm is? Don't go flexing your puny little, what, 2 foot and a half, 3 foot arm? Any longer than that, they belong in a zoo. But a 17-mile arm reached out there. God's arm wasn't shortened. He reached out there and he did the job. 17 miles from that point. Glory to God. One day the disciples are in the ship and they're rowing that ship across the Lake of Galilee. There's Jesus up in the front of the ship and he's snoring away. People said he never snored. I know that he does because they say I do and I know he's in me. They even recorded my snoring one time. Sounds pretty. There he was asleep on the prow of the ship, sleeping away, and the old devil stirs up a storm. Now, most people, you know, and even the insurance company call a tornado an act of God. That's not an act of God. That's an act of the prince and power of this air taking God's good things and using it for destructive purposes. And the people would begin to wake up and be able to speak to the winds. You wouldn't have to build bombs and shelters and run in the basement and hide. You could run out in the porch and rebuke the devil. Amen. Of course, now, if you don't believe what you say, I would rather have you get a shovel and dig a ditch and hide in the ditch. But if you believe what you say, here they are, they're rowing that boat, pulling on those oars, and the waves and the winds kept getting bigger, and the wind kept getting stronger. And that whole thing, they probably were out there, and here they are, all 12 of them, they're pulling those oars. And I can imagine there were several of them that were fishermen, and they knew how to row that boat. And they were pulling those oars and pulling that oar. And all at once, Peter says, "Now look, fellas, we're not going anywhere, and we're not getting the job done, and this thing's getting worse, and the water's getting too deep. And we got to have some more help to bail water. Jesus, get up. Here's a gourd. Bail water." He says, "Oh, ye of itty bitty tiny little faith, peace, be still. You stop that wind." Sea flattens out. And they became more afraid of him than they were of the waves and the wind. They all fell back in their rowboat pew. Said, "What manner of man is this that the winds and the seas obey his voice?" And the same fellow that grabbed the hold of Jesus' foot and shook him and woke him up, one day walked up to the temple with John to pray, and there was a man with a cup stuck out in front of him expecting to receive alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold? But such as we have, we're going to share with you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man probably says, "Huh?" And he held up his hand higher, and Peter took a hold of it. He says, "We haven't got that." He took a hold of his wrist, and when he did, the power of God surged completely through that man, and he began to walk and praise and leap and praise God. Hallelujah. When the Lord comes to earth, will he find it? Will we just be talking about it? Or will we be demonstrating it? Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That's all the further I'm going to go. End time faith, brother, sister, demands a few things of us. I'm not going to be persuaded by public opinion. Take a look around. Here we got Helen Turner sitting here in the midst of us. The old devil's trying to destroy her eyes. God's got a new set of eyeballs. All he's got to do is go. I'll tell you, the greatest healing that ever took place was when he scooped up that handful of mud in Genesis 2:7 and went, and it all jumped up. Amen? Got another sister over here, got a whiplash or something in her neck. Devil tried to kill her. Glory to God. Listen, brother, sister, where's our faith when the Lord comes? You know, you suppose Jesus is walking around in the midst of us here? What's he looking for? Looking to see if you got love? Looking to see if you got hope? Uh-uh. He's looking for that commodity called faith. Faith. What do you believe God for? You got an epileptic daughter? You got a demonized son? Maybe it's time that you went to Jesus about this. I want my rights in the name of Jesus. I want deliverance. I want to be set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, "Well, I don't know whether I got that kind of faith or not." There are those of us that do have. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just praise and lift up your holy name. Thanking you, Lord God, for your word. Thanking you, Lord God, for your presence. Thanking you, Lord, for the power that you have given us through the incoming of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us power and authority in Jesus' name to go forth not only in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but unto the uttermost part of the earth. Lord God, we believe we're in it this morning. We know that in your economy and in your plan and in your purpose, you're going to have your people, Lake Hamilton, Hot Springs, Arkansas, right at this time. Not only are we're thankful that we're here, but we're thankful, Lord, that you're here. And you just go ahead and bless us, Lord. And we intend to bless you as we sing and praise you. And you tell us in your word to clap our hands. We're going to clap our hands. And you said that you'll turn our mourning into dancing. I'm going to quit my boo-hooing and crying and sorrowfulness. And I'm going to jump up and swing my feet in the Holy Ghost. Praise be unto God. Now, Lord, have thine own way and sway right here. Whatever the needs are, Lord God, we're asking you to meet those needs according to thy riches and glory. We're not going to hope any longer. We're going to faith it. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Whatever the needs are,
we speak to every atom of this man's body in the name of Jesus. You muscles, you go back into the place that God has ordained in this body. You will not separate, but you will hold those tissues in the name of Jesus. Let wholeness come to them. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every atom of you. See if you're a liar. Release it. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now listen, I have a feeling in my heart that some of you have relatives or friends, very close friends, that may be very demonized. And you need a word spoken here this morning. Brother, sister, I'll tell you, we got these men standing right here, and there's others in this congregation. If you need a word from the Lord this morning, it's the time to get it. I really believe it. I believe the Lord's present here to heal. He's here to separate the right from the wrong. He's here to bring whatever is needed. Glory to God. I wouldn't leave here this morning. I feel the presence of the Lord. Strength and power. Glory to God. Let's believe God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you will believe with me that God's going to give this little 4-year-old girl deliverance? I believe we can bind that spirit of restlessness in that little child and that hyperactivity in the name of Jesus. We bind it. Lift your hands right up, brother. We bind that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We spoken that word. We said a miracle. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let that miracle come about. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for setting that little 4-year-old free. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. praise the name of the Lord God. But that spirit that has caused this child to act up in wrong ways, in the name of Jesus, let that spirit return from whence it came, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Loose that little child. We loose that little baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it's done, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sister wants us to minister to an alcoholic spirit in her husband, in the bondage that is in the daughter and son, son-in-law, or whatever. Anyway, she wants us to minister. She's here for behalf of her family. Now, we're going to set this in action. We're just going to speak the word. We're going to believe God to liberate that family in the name of Jesus. Now, let's just believe it. As we lay hands on her, may we believe God. Now, are there others that are the same? You're the same? Your mother? Okay, listen, are there others here that have alcoholic spirits in your family? Why don't you come on up here and join right in with this, and let's believe God. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. Join right in. Come right up here close. Let's believe. These are our brothers and sisters that have a longing in their heart for their loved ones to be set free. Now listen, God's going to set them free this morning. Let's believe God. Let's really feel the sorrow and all the heartache that has happened to these people because of these strange spirits that Satan was trying to put upon them. Let's believe God to set them free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You alcoholic spirit that have been playing havoc with these families and with these homes, you stealing, destroying spirits, we bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that as we bind it now on earth, it is bound in heaven. And we loose these men, we loose these women, we loose these children, we loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be loose and be whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Believe God. Believe God. It's done. Say it's done. It's done. It's done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. We praise God for the liberty. Hallelujah. Okay, in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.